Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast.
This is the most important thing in your business. Other people, your competitors in your city, will be using it.
They are.
That's the risk, because if they're doing it and you're not, the competitive edge has disappeared.
It'll save you like 90-95% of the time. The time you spend at work and the time you spend in your other life, your personal life. The great news is obviously you can use technology to do this more quickly.
Yeah.
So there's really no excuse, to be honest. 2026 is shaping up to be a challenging year for trading and contracting businesses. Now, in this episode, I sit down with Cam Hill, our head of coaching, to unpack the four biggest challenges we see coming this year. And more importantly, what you need to do now to stay ahead of your competitors. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here with my other good mate, Cam Hill.
What's up?
Phil's not here today, but Cam in the house, and he is our special guest and occasional host of the podcast as well.
Yeah, man. Good to be here in the comfy seat.
It is.
Nice and plasticky.
Yeah, that's right. So Cam is actually our head of coaching, and he's got a big job. We've got a team of like 15-odd coaches helping our members, and his team is actually currently working with like 700-plus business owners, and he's got his finger on the pulse of, you know, the current trends and challenges facing trading and contracting businesses at the moment. So Dave thought what we'd do, Cam, is we'll dig into what we see are the big sort of challenges for 2026 and what you as a business owner need to do to get on the front foot with it. So welcome, man.
Thanks, dude. Excited to chat about this stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I feel like I've welcomed you twice, but anyway.
Oh, dude, welcome twice.
Yeah,
I'll be even happier to be here now.
Yeah, I'm a little awkward sometimes. I do my best, man. So we were chatting a bit before, and I think this is really interesting and something that's really, you know, caught my attention this year is, and before we sort of jump into the four areas, there's a bit of a theme that I think you've noticed developing over the last year around speed.
Mm.
So can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, look, people in the world now expect things to be done fast. That's the holistic thing here. It's like done fast, done well. And that could be around the work, sure, but it's everything that you interact with them on. And it's honestly in the whole world, it's not just in trades, but specifically in trades, what we're talking about is communication. People expect it to be instant, like they're used to being able to get automatic replies or somebody there listening to them at 10 p.m. at night. And sometimes that's unrealistic, but communication has to be fast. Understanding how you can help them has to be really fast. Getting the price has to be really fast. Getting the service delivered has to be really fast. People want quality, but at like machine speed that we're used to with computers now. It's very much going in that direction.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, isn't it? Because it's the instant generation, instant gratification, instant access. We can access any information we want through AI and searches and all that sort of stuff, and we can get entertainment when we want, which is tailored exactly to what we want. Mm-hmm. We can order stuff through Amazon whenever we want, and so we feel like the world's open all the time, which is putting a lot of pressure on business owners as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, keep that in mind as we go through this. There's lots of ways to nail it and lots of ways to manage expectations and do really well through this, but you just got to be super aware of that in general.
Yeah, and the other side to it, which is something we've really noticed, is that as business owners, we expect also to be able to fix our problems really quick because we're in that mindset of, you know, quick fix, it should be simple, we've got the technology.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old rule of consistent effort and putting in the legwork actually still applies. And so what we see sometimes is that people try and fix a problem in their business and they'll, you know, find something online or think, oh, that looks like a good idea. They try it once and it doesn't work very well, and then they're on to the next thing, which is actually a real problem.
It is a problem. And like, if you don't get this right now, I think about the fitness fads that you see all over Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, wherever you look. Like, there's promises of, you know, do this one thing and boom, you'll lose 10 kgs, or you'll have a six pack, or you'll have buys like Tony.
That's biceps, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. but they don't work, and then it's like you do this and then you move to the next thing and you just neglect the discipline of the grind of the effort to actually get the results. So
the effort, the consistent effort is still very important, and you think about things like, you know, managing your costs. That's not something you do once. It's something you've got to do every single hour, every single day. That's how you actually make money. So it takes a lot of discipline, which is, it's becoming a little bit harder in this instant generation. So I guess one of the challenges, it's kind of a broad challenge before we dig into the four specifics, is that we've got this technology and all this stuff available to us now that can help us be quicker. but also we need to actually be consistent and solid and conscientious with what we're doing. So, and those two things can work together, obviously. Anyway, Chief, four big challenges that that you've seen. So let's kick off with number one, and that's really about technology. So the big challenge is that you've got to be using technology well, otherwise your competitors are going to get the jump on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the world's gotten a lot more used to this whole AI concept. If we were having this conversation last year, it was there. But it wasn't that everyone was using ChatGPT or AI integrated software. These things are in every platform. You can use any sort of long language model, which is what ChatGPT is, across that or Claude or your job management software. Like, there's AI integrated into lots of systems. And I guess one thing that's important to do this year is, if you haven't accepted that it's there and it's helpful yet, I think that's probably the first thing. That's a mindset shift. That's the way you think about how you can use the way that the world's going in terms of this technology, artificial intelligence, to be able to enhance what you do, the speed, the accuracy, the volume of content that you can push out. And I think the thing that comes to my mind is, like, when we talk to a lot of clients, especially new members coming into our program, the thinking is 2 years ago thinking instead of where we're at right now. So I guess I'd put your brain into a few places. One, how can I use this to be able to do more and improve our quality? So my brain, and I'm sure you'll have more ideas as we go through this, but you can use this to create better processes in your office. Things like making scripts for following up on, you know, debtors that you have, people that haven't paid you. You can use this to create processes for emails that go out to generate, you know, contact your database. That's a very easy way to use this. That's how a lot of people have been using it through 2025. But in 2026, you can continue to do that. But like, AI will also be able to plug into your job management software and give you recommendations on how you can make jobs be more efficient. Like, that's more proactive use for AI, and I think that's really important to look out for. You can use it to analyze your financials if you need to. It can give you feedback on what your P&L is looking like, or the, you know, P&Ls from December, January, February, March, what's happening, what's the trajectory. It will give you information like that, and why not use it? Other people, your competitors in your city, will be using it.
They are.
That's the risk, because if they're doing it and you're not, the competitive edge has disappeared. And if we go back to the original thing that you were talking about conceptually, humans now want answers, want information, want feedback, want communication, want the jobs delivered straight away. If old mate down the road can do it and you can't do it in terms of replying to an inquiry or getting from the site visit to the quotes in their inbox faster, they'll go to somebody else if you're mucking around, sitting on your hands.
It's funny, actually. I was with some people socially a couple of days ago, and they have a large electrical business. They're not actually members of our program, but they have bought the book and they loved it. So if you haven't done that, you should do that. And they, you know, a little reticent about this whole AI thing, and particularly we're talking about ChatGPT. And one of them said, "Oh, yeah, it's definitely something the young people are using. I'm a bit old, you know, to be getting into that. It's going to take me a while to figure it out." And I was like, flipping heck, you're actually younger than me, which made me feel old. But anyway, it's like that's the sort of attitude, and it's understandable that really you need to be careful you don't have. You've just got to jump in boots and all with this and start using.
If I could give anybody who's thinking like that one piece of advice, ChatGPT is an easy place to start. There's lots of other stuff that we're talking about with AI, but ChatGPT is a great place to start. You can use it for free. Honestly, please just pay for it. It's $20 a month.
Yeah, it's like better.
It's so good, and it's way better. If you're thinking like that, if you don't know how to use it, this thing is conversational. You can just jump in there and you can ask it to help you be better with the way that you use it. And it will seriously help you. That is better than going, "Hey, young man next to me, apprentice, help me use it." Because it'll teach you and you'll get more confident. And dude, like, you're good with this stuff. And you're older than the person that you were talking to, obviously.
You're very kind.
But you can use it, right? Anyone can pick this up and use it. You just need reps, like anything.
It is reps. And the cool thing is you don't even need to type anymore. You can just use your voice and it'll transcribe it. And it's so quick. And I mean, it is an attitudinal thing. Once you get over that, you'll get into it and it'll be like, flipping heck, this is like obvious.
Yeah.
It is so easy to use that you'll just be wondering why you hadn't done it sooner.
I think one thing maybe just to add on to that, if we think about our business for a second, the more you use it, the more your brain opens up to how you can use it as well. And like that's just, you start and then you'll start thinking, oh, I could use it for like creating quoting templates, or I could use it to make sure my margins on different types of jobs are really strong, and like what I could do. It can analyze supplier costs and tell you very easily and quickly who's starting to charge you more and how some margin erosion is happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
well, the thing with the technology here, it's not about the technology per se, it's about the time that it buys you back. That's the key thing here. So you're able to do things in, honestly, not even a tenth of the time. As soon as you write something, you know, it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so if you can just get chat to help you with that, for example, it'll save you like 90, 95% of the time. The time's the key thing. And it's not just, the big lesson for me is, like you said, you'll figure out other things you can use. So it's not just what you do with it at work. This is the key thing, because the time you spend at work and the time you spend in your other life, your personal life, which hopefully you have one, and if you don't, listen closely to the podcast. You can use it for all sorts of other stuff to save time. Like, for example, we travel, and we've traveled to Europe, and I was just like, hey, we're going to Rome for 7 days. I told them the nature of our family. There's four of us. We're a Catholic family, and these are the age of the kids. I want you to create an itinerary for us, you know, which looks at all of the key sites, both sort of church-related and ancient, and please give us suggestions for restaurants. My wife's gluten-free, and we want to make sure we only do one big thing a day. And it spits this out in like 30 seconds, and it's like that would take you just hours.
So many hours.
So many hours.
I did the same thing for Vietnam next year.
It's insane, so right? It's so good. And then if you don't like something, you can just, you know, iterate. And you've got this itinerary there in like 2 minutes, which saves you so much time. I know it's personal, but it's the same time. You can use that time for whatever you want, do some more stuff on the business or whatever.
Absolutely.
And so you'll just, this whole world of possibility will open up to you. So really, that's a big thing.
Massive. Yeah, dude, 100%.
So that's, you can even get to build websites. I mean, it's like nuts, right?
It's so good. That's ridiculous.
So I think the key thing is that, you know, if you want to be competitive in 2026, you don't need to be a tech wizard, but you really need to just jump in boots and all with the stuff. And it is, it's so user-friendly that you'll get good and things will happen. Reps.
Mm.
I like it. Just like you at the gym, mate, old Triceratops. It's a big man.
Flex for the camera.
That's very good, mate. I like it. You got the tough stickers on too. I like those as well.
Have to, man.
Hey. So number two is maintaining margins on your jobs. Big challenge.
Absolutely. Look, this is the most important thing in your business. Your margin on your work, the amount of gross profit that you're making, that's the determining factor of whether you're actually making money and getting cash in your pocket. And you do this business thing for money freedom and time freedom, right? But you need the margin to get the money to be able to buy yourself the time. That's massive in this. So it's an important topic. A couple of things that are on my mind around it is there is increasing labor costs. So you're hiring people and you're looking for good people, but they cost more now than what they did at the start of 2025, the start of 2024. These things are going up. So that's really important that you pass that on to your clients so you maintain the margin. Second thing is around supply of materials. If you have a bit of cash in your business, and it's smarter to buy materials up front. Like things like that are smart to make sure that one, you have the materials to do the job, and two, you can get them for a good price. Paying close attention this year to suppliers increasing the cost of materials, if you're not paying attention to that, it'll erode your margin. And 1-3% make a massive difference on your cash flow, massive difference on your bottom line. So you've got to watch this stuff. It is a discipline thing like we were talking about before. Like you can use tools to help you with this, but you have to watch it. You got to watch the line items. You got to look at your purchase orders and not just trust that they're going to come outright and say, hey, Tony, we've raised the prices on this, this, and this by 10%. They'll just move the money figure, right? So you got to watch that. And that means that you've got to be like looking at this, but like back costing your jobs. This is a fundamental in trades businesses. You've got to look at the profitability of your jobs. You've got to trend the information. So job type A, job type B, job type C. You've got to know what the margins are, and you've got to look at them all the time. It's a discipline thing. You know, if you can get like really solid around this, you're looking at what team members, so what tradesmen, are producing what sort of profitability. So your margin percentage is important. That's a good tool to use because you can pair that against how you price. But also look at the amount of money that they're generating per hour. So they're out there generating gross profit for each hour that they spend out on the tools, right? They're going and they're selling materials, or you're selling materials, and they're going and installing them or using them to complete the job. But looking at those constantly will continue to give you feedback on how you can improve the margins or maintain the margin. So, you know, it tells you about your pricing. It tells you about how efficient they are when they go and deliver the jobs. Those are the two factors that you're looking for. But you've got to look at the data to make sure. So that's massively important. What it'll mean is that if you're looking at this and you're constantly making decisions to pass on that price to your clients, or you're negotiating with suppliers and maintaining the margins, whichever one of these, it's going to mean that you're rock solid on your bottom line net profit. And also the cash, as long as you have good cash flow practices, yeah. It's coming in.
This is a funny one because every year, if we did this every year, this one would be one of the four challenges.
It really would.
Because it's like we said at the start, technology has changed the game with a lot of things, but this here is a basic discipline of being successful, which is why we bang on about it so much. And it's so difficult for people to do consistently, which does my head in.
Yeah.
But it's what the really successful people do well. They just hone in on this, make sure that they're making money off their jobs, because that turns into the money in the bank account. So it's just fundamental, and it has to be done all the time. The great news is obviously you can use technology to do this more quickly.
Yeah.
So there's really no excuse, to be honest, because you don't have to sit down with a piece of paper and get all the jobbing information and do it manually like you used to. And then we went to spreadsheets, which was better. And then there's jobbing systems now. And obviously you can just chuck a bunch of information into AI systems and chat, which will do this pretty quickly for you. So
I think the discipline part is that you as the business owner, like your job is to make sure that the business is making money. So if you have somebody that runs the operations or runs projects for you, like great, they should be looking at this information 100%, but you can't neglect it yourself. No. You absolutely cannot. You should have time in your calendar, no matter what, to do a financials review. And you should look at the entire P&L for sure every week. You know, you do that every week. That's a discipline you have. The people that do very well that we see in the program, they do this. They have time in their week to look at the themes that are coming across in the back costing. And if you have a manager that is running the operations and they look at this sort of stuff, you might just need to have a conversation about it and look at some of the data. But you can't neglect that. I would plead to you one thing: don't miss a week without looking at your financials.
Well, I think the key thing here, and you mentioned it, you know, the supplier might put up the materials by 1 or 2 or 3 or 5%. It's like, it doesn't look like a lot, but that's on every time you use that item. And over a course of a year, that will add up to tens of thousands of dollars, and that's how you lose money.
Yeah.
So you have to be absolutely anally retentive about this stuff if you want to crush it. So I guess the big challenge for 2026 is do the fundamentals of costing your jobs properly. You know your numbers, defend your margins, and stop letting work happen in your business that doesn't really make you money.
Yeah, non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. All right, number three. So the market is a little stronger than 2025, but that's off a very low base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still really quite tough in a lot of areas to get work out there. So that is a big challenge for 2026. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah, it is. This might make me sound like a broken record if you listen to it last year, but you have to, I guess my thought with this is that, sure, what you said is true, but it's not going to be 2021, 2022, where there's just so much work and you can put no effort into marketing and sales. You need to put a lot of effort into marketing and sales. That means if you work with builders or general contractors, you should be out there nurturing those clients and finding new ones, so you have the power of choice to pick who you work with, who's giving you the work that you want at a good rate, right, with good profit in it. If you work with homeowners, you need to be out there all the time building your brand and direct marketing, You need to be asking for work in the right way. So marketing strategy is massively important. So knowing who you're targeting and being clear on that and who they are and where they hang out, that's massively important. What their problems are and how you solve them. You should know this. And you know, most businesses that are listening will have one or two key avatars or niches that you chase, and you really understand them. So you have to have a strategy for each of those. You have to be constantly marketing. When you're busy, that's when you often see people let their foot off the gas, right? See it all the time. Don't, because if you put all of your energy into delivering and then something, you know, happens, like a job gets delayed or somebody pulls out that you've worked with for a long time, or you just suddenly have the phone stop ringing, you get into panic mode and you start taking anything, going back to the previous point of margins on jobs, you'll take the shit work, to be honest. You'll take the stuff that doesn't make you money because you just want to keep the guys busy. So you have to know your avatar and be marketing, and marketing well, and then comes sales, right? So back to speed. This is going to be one of the most important things in 2026 when it comes to sales. So when you get inquiries, being able to get back to them fast. So if people are submitting forms or emailing, which, let's be honest, the world's moving more to computer communication rather than picking up the old phone and saying, hey man, I need this job done. That's how a lot of people are communicating. So you have to be able to get back to them really quickly, whether that's a phone call or communication back through the same channel, like emailing them back or messaging them back or texting back or whatever your communication is that you use.
Which AI can really help with.
It really can. Yeah, it can shortcut it and automate it. And be very humanistic as well. It's getting so good. It's not like the old IVR systems where you call up your telecommunications company.
Press one for blah, blah, blah.
It's not
press
that
two
anymore.
For, no. It's like, I just want to talk to someone.
Yeah. That's actually tricky how human they feel now.
I know.
It's scary, but it is good because it means that you can have people talk instantly at any time of day with your clients.
Is this actually real people on this podcast, or is this just, I don't know, like a voice avatar?
An AI version of you would be interesting, man. Like, it would be really interesting.
The world could not contain another version of me, I think. I don't know.
Dude, too much of you is a problem, so let's stop thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know.
But that, yeah, sure, AI can help with that sort of stuff, but I think the understanding of people expect speed, and if you can be fast, it gives you a strong competitive advantage. That's huge. Like, you need to be good at sales. So having a strong inquiry handling process, so a good inquiry script is really important. Good triaging process to make sure you're dealing with the right people. And then a really good sales meeting process. Script that's practiced. Those things are important. But neglecting how fast you can go out to site and do the measures and, you know, show the customer that you can solve their problem, and then actually solve their problem and do all of this fast, including getting the quote out to them fast, following up fast, getting them in the schedule fast. That would be something to really put your energy into this year.
And the key thing here is, because the market is, it's not, you know, it's not bullish, it's not full on like it was, you know, several years ago. If you do this proactively and are quick and onto it with your sales and marketing, you will find enough to do. You'll find plenty of work. But if you don't, you'll be one of those bunch of businesses who struggle, who are left to fight for the scraps.
Yeah, bottom feeders.
The bottom feeders. Whereas when the market is absolutely, you know, trucking along, everyone can just make all the clients wait. You can't do that now. 2026, you'll struggle if you do that. So it is that's why the focus on this is so important.
Yeah, and if we go back to the AI conversation for a second, using this to get your processes strong in your sales and making lots of content and marketing, it's helpful. But I think, like, lean back on the learning. The one tip I'd probably have around the whole AI concept is it's not going to get it perfect the first time. It might not even get it right the first time. If you just say, hey, ChatGPT, write me a good sales process or write me a good sales meeting format for this type of work, like it might not be great, but it's a good start. But you can shortcut the time to be able to get these systems right, so you can actually do the interactions with people fast and you're not mucking around trying to go, oh, I need to get my sales script right before I go out and see this guy, because you wait too long, you just lose to somebody else.
Like it. Okay, so that's important. The market is not as strong, you know, it's stronger than it was, but low base. We've still got to be really assertive about getting work to keep us full, and if we are, we'll be fine. If we're not, we'll be one of those bunch of businesses that really struggle. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want that. Number four, money is still really tight, Lots of clients are struggling for cash flow in their businesses, particularly contractors and builders and other business-to-business work. And that's actually flowing into our business as a problem. So that could be a big challenge this year, not getting paid on time.
Cash is king, hey?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a number one killer of businesses. I think the first thing to do and to be really mindful of is measuring this. Same thing that we talked about with the margins and making sure you're back costing. If you look at your cash and projected cash, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you're good at this, you can do it 6 or 8 weeks in advance. Like, that is doable. You just have to have somebody own it. It's super doable and it just needs an owner. That is one way to be really on top of this. So that would be my number one thing. But that's not, obviously, measuring it isn't going to improve your cash flow situation, but it makes you manage it, doesn't it?
That's right. And I would suggest you can do it for 12 weeks, relatively.
Yeah.
Relatively accurately, and it's just each week, it's going to show you what is your projected bank balance based on, the work you've got, the invoices you've got coming in and out, tax payments, payrolls, all that sort of stuff. You can get it pretty good. And when you see that it's in the red and you don't have the cash you need, lights a fire under your ass and you actually get cracking and doing stuff. So
yeah,
it does really drive behavior.
It does.
It's because the mistake people make, I guess, is that they look at cash in the bank as a static thing. It's not. It's called cash flow for a reason, because it flows in and out every day. And so that's what you need. It's very dynamic.
Yeah, it is.
And so people often have a lot of money in their bank account and they're like, I feel good. But the next day, they're not feeling good because there's money gone out. So it's tracking the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. You've got to do it. Well, that's the first thing. And then just speaking to the unorganized contractors, builders, etc., look, you can't let their unorganization flow into your business. You can't do that. So there's a few protective measures and really important things to do to really focus on this year to maintain your cash flow and keep it strong. One of them is looking at how you can take deposits or material acquisition, and invoicing that on to your clients immediately. Like, you don't want to sit in a big cash gap where you pay for a bunch of materials up front and then you invoice them 30 days later, 60 days, like, that's
ridiculous. Then wait for another 30 or 60 days to get paid.
Yeah, exactly. So, be really mindful of that. It's a pretty normal thing. And if upstairs, the top 2 inches is telling you, like, they won't do this, just try. Have a conversation. It makes sense if you're buying materials to deliver on their project that they pay for them. The end user can pay for them and they can get that payment out of them. Like, don't go to their payment terms with their customer just because you think you have to. Like, it's your business. You can decide your terms. That's really important.
And the reason the contractor has an issue with cash flows is because they haven't sorted this out.
Yeah, maybe they're not doing this.
You can teach them the lesson that they need to learn.
Yeah, do it. And the main way to do it is to hold your standards and boundaries, hold to your terms. So, like, looking at payment terms on both sides, like looking at your payment terms with your suppliers and then making sure you have tight payment terms with your customers. If you're dealing with homeowners, when they want you to do a job, the cash is burning a hole in their pocket. Get them to pay on the day. If you can take the FPOS unit or card unit out to them and they can pay, they'll probably want to because they just want to get it done. They want the job done. They want to pay for it. They want to move on with their life. So make that really easy for them. If you can't do that for some reason, invoice same day and expect payment same day. With builders, go for fortnightly payment terms as much as you can, like, try not to have to invoice at the end of the month and then wait to the 20th or the end of the following month to get paid. You just live in this cash gap.
At least have a discussion about it, because sometimes not possible. It's hard. But yeah. It's like, if you can get some of it earlier, then that really helps with cash flow than having to wait for all of it.
And look, if you can't, I think just the way you do your progress claims is really important. So lots of people will default to claiming on stages, completion of parts of the job. Do it for time. So every month there's a progress claim in for the work completed with the margin on it as well. But you've got to do that. That way you're paying for your labor and the materials, and that money is coming back in with the profit for everything that you've spent in that month. Don't do it to stage.
Yeah, don't wait for all your profit till the end of the job.
Yeah, exactly. Accounts receivable is going to be a big one to just pay attention to. So, look, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is the money that people owe you. So that's your debtors. So you've done the work, you've invoiced them, and now they have to pay. So you've got to keep your eye on this daily. If people are going over, they need a phone call. Don't don't fall to emails, don't fall to automations. People take action when they're talking to you on the phone. So make sure you have a script, make sure you're calling them. Your process needs to be that you follow up on them constantly. It should be a daily exercise if they've passed their due date.
They're overdue, yeah.
And don't be afraid to send them to debt collectors. Like, this process is so important to just maintain your credibility as a business. If you roll over for them, they'll do the same thing to you again and again and again. You're teaching them lessons when you let them off. That's a big part of this. So watch that. Look at that number in your accounting software.
Yeah, you got to be on top of that one. And this obviously wrecks your business if you don't get paid. So
it does.
And it is tougher at the moment in 2026. This is going to be crucial. If you couple that with the fact that the market is still, you know, it's a bit soft, This all compounds, and the money is actually not flowing around the economy as quickly as it might, which is why your suppliers, your clients may be slower paying you. But it's the old squeaky wheel thing.
Yeah.
They're going to pay someone, and you want to make sure that you're at the top of their list to be paid. And the people at the top of the list to be paid are the ones who have the best process, come across most professionally, and frankly, are the biggest pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But in a respectful way, like they, you know, if you're in front of someone, they're more likely to pay you than if you just like hands off and wait for them to do it.
It's so easy to ignore an email. And if you do nothing, even worse.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a mental challenge as well. Like it feels a bit awkward. But I tell you what, it's nowhere near as awkward as not having enough cash to pay your bills. That's a way worse feeling.
That's the biggest fire.
Mate, this has been good. So four key things to focus on. If we sort of circle back, the first one was?
First one was around just technology, AI, competitors, you know, leaving you in the dust if you're not all over this.
Yep. Number two?
Number two was just being careful and watching those margins on your job, maintaining strong margins through this entire year. Three was around workflow. Obviously, we talked about the market coming off the floor, but still super important that you're marketing and selling really strong and fast.
Yep. And number four?
Cash flow is still king. You got to manage it. You got to be strong with it. Forecast it. Make sure you're on top of it and be really diligent about how you manage that with deposits, start of the job, end of the job with your AR.
Nice. All right, man. So I reckon key to success in 2026 is to stay across these four challenges. It'll set you up for a great year and help you grow a really profitable and fun to own business.
Yeah, do these things and you'll crush it. Love it.
Thanks for listening, team. We'll catch you all again next time.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
You're back at work after the Christmas vacation. The jobs start rolling in again, but the bank account is empty. You're stressed. You're not sure how you're going to make wages, pay the suppliers, take care of tax payments, and get through the next couple of months. Now tune into this episode where we discuss why this happens and how to avoid it next year so that you can enjoy your vacations and holidays rather than dread coming back to work.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.